Yeah, you know what you can get me, Pee-wee?
What?
El Hombre.
First of all, as a service to the listeners, this is an absolute forget about it.
El Hombre.
He's a pariah. I mean, it's like going after raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens.
El Hombre.
Oh, I know he is feeling good after the Eagles start, the only undefeated team left in the NFC. But, Michael, before we get into that, so Dave and I got kind of waylaid and somehow started talking about sodas. And we brought up Jolt Cola. Do you remember Jolt Cola?
Homer is sponsored by Halitosis Associates of Walla Walla. Your breath don't stink as much as you think. Yeah, I absolutely remember Jolt Cola. Never drank it because the last thing I need is more caffeine. I don't even drink coffee, and I've limited myself to two sodas a week.
Oh.
So,
what are you trying to be a healthy person? You're trying to show the rest of us up?
Well, the sugar's not good for you. The sugar is the enemy. And if you cut one thing down in your diet and it's sugar, you're doing the right thing.
Yeah.
I love icy cold Coca-Cola. High test. None of this diet garbage. And I will drink one of those four times a day if I could. But I'd like to keep my health intact. So Jolt Cola was basically an invitation to heart palpitations for me.
Yeah, I was telling these guys it debuted in 1985, if a cola can debut. By the way, what do you guys call it out there? Like in California, where I grew up, we used to just call everything a Coke. But is it soda?
No, it's soda. It's soda. And when I went out to school in Michigan, and everybody was saying pop.
Yeah.
I thought they were joking around at first because they couldn't drink beer because they were 18 years old. We're gonna have a party tonight. We're gonna have some pop, and I'm like, what are you talking about? What's pop? So yeah, it's soda back east.
Yeah. Anyway, I had a girlfriend who was a human biology pre-med basically, and she was reading because I was powering down the Jolt Colas for, staying up to study for midterms. And she's like, this is really not good for you. And I was like,
well, who are you trying to kid? You weren't studying.
Yeah. Yes. That was back in the day when football players used to actually go to school, Michael. We used to actually go to class and have to get grades and whatnot.
Well, I'll tell you, when I was at Michigan, they went. And my freshman composition class, it was at 8 o'clock in the morning, and I sat next to a guy named John Lott, who eventually, no relation to Ronnie, but he eventually became a starting defensive back at Michigan. And basically my job was to keep him awake. And the professor would notice when he'd start nodding off, he sat in a corner, and he'd kind of lean in there in the corner and, snooze. And she'd kind of look at me and give me the high sign, and I'd have to give him an elbow going, hey, John, wake up. So it was the start of a good friendship. By the time we were juniors and seniors, like, hey, how you doing, man?
Yeah, he needed Jolt Cola.
Yeah. Hey, Michael, so the Eagles, they are the last unbeaten team in the NFC. They look like they have all the pieces in place there. Excitement there or still some nervous optimism as the season progresses?
Oh, good Lord, the people are out of their minds.
Yeah.
I mean, the trail of the history of NFL football is littered with the carcasses of 3-0 teams that later on didn't quite pan out. I mean, if those of I don't know if any of your listeners remember the 1980 Detroit Lions, another one bites the dust team. I think they started 4-0 and didn't make the playoffs. So while fans are excited and while fans are really thrilled with the play of Jalen Hurts and these great wide receivers, this is not a perfect team and by any stretch. And, the game this Sunday against Jacksonville is at the beginning of the year, it looked like, oh, that's a win. But Doug Peterson's got him playing well. And if they're thinking, well, we're undefeated, we're amazing, we're second in the power rankings or whatever, they could get upset at home.
How about Philly fans right now? Got to be really happy. I mean, we're happy about our Mariners, although they're sort of tanking. We had an 11-2 lead the other day, and the Seahawks 1-2 is it's not great. But you got both the sports going there right now.
Yeah, I mean, and the Sixers started practice today with their media day yesterday. Everybody's got high hopes for them. Yeah, it's a good time to be a Philly fan, but I'll tell you what, it's not exactly like people are flocking out to the games. I was at the game last Wednesday, and the only reason they got 29,000 people out to the game was it was Dollar Dog Night, and every college student in the area came out to try to stuff as many as possible down there at Gullett's.
Sounds like a good plan. I'm sold there. Didn't you guys have a bet or something? What was the discussion?
No, the
if the Mariners
is,
and Phillies
both said
made.
That they were going to make it to the playoffs, and if they both make it, we never made a bet about overall record. We just said make it to the playoffs. Right now they have the same record.
So then what happens? I forgot.
We'll figure something out. Well, it'll be humiliating and funny, but So you got are you in the same position? How far out? Tell us about the Phillies.
We are right now in the third spot, ahead, 1.5 games ahead of Milwaukee, and you guys are 3.5 games ahead of those Baltimore Orioles. So you're in better shape than we are. Phillies are on the road for the next 10 games. They got 10 games in 9 days, including a scheduled doubleheader in Washington. Now they play three with the Cubs, four with the Nationals, who stink, and then three with Houston, which has already clinched, I think, the best record they're close to clinching the best record in the AL. So it's not like they're going to be, trotting out the A team as they get ready for the playoffs.
Well, we'll be rooting against the Padres and the Brewers for you. So.
Yes, thank you very much.
Yeah. Hey, Michael, I don't know if you saw this or kind of heard about it, but on Saturday during a college football game during Clemson Wake Forest, they started cutting in to show Aaron Judge's at bats. I was watching it. I didn't really care for it. I don't know how other people felt, but what did you think about that in terms of needing to provide context? This is kind of a big moment, but anyone watching that game is a college football fan and probably doesn't care too much about seeing Aaron Judge's at bats.
No, especially down in ACC country, which is not exactly a bastion of Yankee fans. And they were showing it in other situations as well. So I'm with you. I'm not a big fan of that kind of stuff. If he hits his 62nd, what does that mean? He's the all-time American League home run champion? And they still recognize steroid abusers A, B, and C ahead of him in the single season. So if you're Major League Baseball, you're really, what's 62 when someone hits 66 and someone hits 70 and someone, whatever. So I'm not a fan of that, especially during football. I'll watch a replay or show me a highlight during a commercial or something.
Whenever we talk about baseball films and what's your favorite, Bull Durham comes up, but 61. Did you see that, Michael, with Barry Pepper?
Did.
I thought that was really good. I mean, that one's sort of undersold.
That was pretty good. I agree with you. And it showed you the real pressure that Maris was under. And, he is a Yankee. He's going after a Yankees record, one of the most beloved players of all time. And, it was not an easy situation for him. One baseball movie that I think is really underrated is Trouble with the Curve. I don't know if you've seen that with Amy Adams and Justin Timberlake and Clint Eastwood. I'll watch that every single time it's on just to hear at the end. You know what that's called? What do you think about what do you got to say now, jackass? That's called Trouble with the Curve.
Yeah, that was pretty good. The ultimate revenge, like the popcorn guy, ends up being the
It'll
man.
Be ugly.
Yeah. Hey, Michael, this was maybe not too surprising, but all this stuff coming out about Brett Favre and just how he continues to be kind of not the best guy, trying to steal state welfare funds to build athletic facilities. For a big subset of fans who were Packers fans growing up, I know he was probably an idol to them. So I was kind of wondering, did you have any of the, Dave and I have talked about this before, any of the don't meet your hero sports moments? If you had a guy who really was a hero to you and then you met him and you thought, oh, this guy's not the best. Or maybe the other way, where you did have a sports hero and he turned out to be everything you thought.
I haven't met too many of quote-unquote my sports heroes. I'll tell you two quick stories. One, I was a big Franco Harris fan. When I was growing up, the Eagles stunk, and I loved Franco Harris, even though he went to Penn State. And then when Paterno was forced to resign after the whole Sandusky thing and his enabling of it and everything, but Harris doubled down on the Paterno truther kind of thing, saying he had nothing to do with it, and he wasn't involved, and he didn't know, et cetera. That shattered some illusions. Darryl Dawkins was my favorite basketball player growing up, and one day when I was driving up the New Jersey Turnpike, I see a brown Mercedes pull up next to me, and I look in the driver's side window, and nobody's there. I'm like, what is this, a ghost car? It was actually Dawkins driving, and he was so big, he had the seat reclined back. He was looking at me out the driver's side back window. Gives me a big smile and takes off, and I'm like, cool. So I go flying, catch up to him, look at him, smile, and I go ahead of him. We went up and down the Jersey Turnpike for about 20 miles at 90 miles an hour doing that until he finally hit the gas and blew me away. But that was a lot of fun because he was just goofing around and smiling the whole time.
That's hilarious. You know, mine was, this was on me pretty much, though. I was at Stanford and I was on the golf course, the Stanford golf course. With your student card, it was like $7.50 to play 18 there. And it's a really nice course. Mm-hmm. But we pull up to this, the tee box, and there's this huge leather bag, you know, golf bag that's black and orange. And it says Willie McCovey on it. And I go, wow, are you Willie McCovey? I think I'd had a couple pops. And and he just looked at me like, what do you think, stupid?
Yeah, you know, kids, you guys playing cards?
Yeah, exactly, exactly. So
there's on it. Yeah. 6'4" black man standing there next to it, and it's like, are you Willie McCovey? No, I'm Ron Hunt. You know, please. You know. Yeah.
Absolutely. I deserve that.
Yeah. Michael, not sure if we asked you about this yet, but now that the wild card round is solely on the focus of everyone around here, pretty much, the fact that they have changed it from one game to a series. I don't know how you felt about that. We kind of thought, okay, that one game used to be almost, oh, great, you made it, you lose, the season's over. Does it really feel like you made the postseason? Do you like that they expanded that? And what are your thoughts overall about these expanded MLB playoffs?
Well, I mean, look, right now, you and I and fans in Baltimore and fans in Milwaukee and you know, are sitting around now saying we've got real baseball that we're excited about. So that's 7 teams per league. I mean, even the White Sox are probably sitting there thinking, maybe. So you've got 7 teams in each league out of 30, so 14. You're about almost half at this point that are excited about the playoffs. Back in early September, you had more teams that were involved. So the expansion of it is fine with me because it gives more fans more time to be excited about baseball. And I think that it's a good idea to have the 3-game series. First of all, you give the advantage to the team that's got the better record by having all 3 games at their home stadium. And secondly, as you said, you go to that one game, if you don't have your pitchers lined up or somebody gets really hot or somebody gets really cold, the game can turn on who knows what. 3 games, you got a chance to win 2 out of 3. I like it. I think it's a better way to do it.
I think it'll be interesting to find out, like, if the Mariners win, you know, and get into the playoffs. Is this a baseball town or a football town? I mean, it's kind of, Bob talks about how St. Louis is definitely a baseball town.
Yes.
But what about Philly? Is it
Philly's
just whoever?
Philly's a pro football town. I mean, look, when the Phillies were good from 2007, when they almost made the playoffs, 2007 they made it, 2008 they won it, through 2011, this town went bananas in October. They called it Red October. Tickets, we have season tickets, and every so often we get an email around the time of the World Series saying, hey, do you want to buy a couple extra tickets, standing room? We bought 2 standing room tickets and sold them for $1,500 each. So the people were going absolutely nuts back then. They loved that team. But I'll tell you what, when the Eagles won the Super Bowl, nobody in the town was happier. I mean, more people were happy. More people showed up for that parade than did the Phillies in 2008. It was absolutely nuts. So it's still a pro football town.
Yeah, speaking of the Eagles there, I mean, we've been trying to figure out who's good in the NFC. The Eagles, obviously, the only undefeated team. Aaron Rodgers has gone through his ups and downs, but they're 2-1. Brady has his issues. The Bucs look good, though. Is there a changing of the old guard? Do you still think the Packers and Bucks will be there when it comes down to the end of the playoffs here?
I think the Packers will be. I'm still not sold on the Bucks. Boy, they looked bad on Sunday. I mean, they really did. And the fact that they couldn't get the playoff on the 2-point conversion and took a penalty, that's very un-Brady-like. So I think the Packers are good. I think the 49ers are still going to be good, even though that game the other night was one of the ugliest games in the history of football. That's a good team. The Cowboys are still going to be good. I think when Prescott comes back, they're going to be a tough team. But is there a real, you know, dominant Godzilla type team that's going to stomp its way through? No, I don't think so.
Well, Michael, we got to move aside for the Mariners pregame coverage shortly. So we appreciate it, and we will talk to you next Tuesday.
So long, suckers.
That's a good one.
I always think, let's have a nice, pleasant exchange before he leaves, but. Just
that's his shtick. Yeah. That's the Philly persona coming out there.
There we go.
Yeah,
I do believe he has a plastic hard phone there that he, like an old-fashioned one. Right?
So we have had to call him on his cell phone a couple times. You just lose the ambiance of that when he hangs up.
I wonder if there's an app that you can get on your phone that makes it sound like you're crashing a plastic phone.
Hard
down.
Goodbye.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the Mariners are taking on the Rangers. We mentioned that. That is coming up at 5:30. Time for the T-Mobile Park roof reports. We got a guess here. Yeah, it'll be open, right? It's a beautiful day outside. Nice. It's hard to see. Now I get what Bob's dealing with every time he tries to do this, because we are obscured with our vision, but it looks like it's beautiful outside. Mariners take on the Rangers tonight. T-Mobile Park roof will be open. That is the Mariners roof report covered by Acton's Quality Roofing.
By the way, I'm surprised somebody didn't call in and correct me. We're 9-7 against the Oakland A's.
Oh.
I missed a series there.
Radio math.
Yeah. I was trying to do it furiously, but 9-7 against the A's. That's ridiculous.
It just shows how irrelevant the A's have been this season.
I mean, look, they could possibly, if they take two from the Mariners, we'll be tied. Anyway, we got to focus on the Rangers right now.
The Rangers and the Orioles, because the Orioles have just retaken the lead on the Red Sox. So it was 1-0, and the Red Sox came back to make it 2-1. Now, with two runs in the third, the Orioles are up 3-2. They entered the day 3.5 back, which technically is 4.5 because of the tiebreaker. So once that evens out, when the Mariners play that doubleheader, they'll be on an even track of games. Then obviously you finish the same amount of games. So if they finish with identical records, which now it's getting closer and closer, the Mariners will make the playoffs. The Orioles have to be one game better than them. So that is okay. But credit Baltimore. They're keeping the pressure on. And everything we've talked about for the Mariners needing to do, maybe this will be that wake-up call, that jump start they need, because Baltimore is not fading away. The White Sox have faded away. The White Sox were a little bit nerve-wracking there about a week ago, actually. They had kind of closed the gap and had the tiebreaker. But the Orioles are there. And I think that, hopefully that'll be the wake-up call and not the tensing up moment for the Mariners, but we'll see.
Well, they're 3.5 up, and also I believe Tampa is losing right now. No, they're actually beating Cleveland.
Yeah, they're back in front now too.
But they're a half game ahead of the Mariners, and maybe there's a chance that they crumble. But yeah, the Orioles, who would have known? And we said this earlier, that at the beginning of the year when they traded away Mancini and just didn't look good for them, and they had a bunch of young guys, that they would be in the playoff race. I feel like they're gonna fade away, though.
Yeah, there's a lot of scoreboard watching going on. The Yankees have taken the lead on the Blue Jays 2-1. I mean, this is fun. This is a fun place to be in. I know it's incredibly stressful, but think about where we are. It's September 27th. There are 10 games left in the season. When's the last time you've been this invested in scoreboard watching and rapidly changing games? You had that to some extent last year, but the Mariners were out of it. They were never in a position like this. They were always doing the chasing, and it was a little far-fetched, especially after they lost that first game on that final weekend. This, you are right in the thick of it. Everything happening directly affects every other team. And I love this. I mean, this is more fun than the alternative, which we've experienced that alternative for many, many seasons here since they last made the playoffs.
Well, nobody wants to hear this, but even if they don't make it, this still is fun, right?
They're gonna make it, though, to
know that in September.
Do you remember Ryan Rollins-Smith saying the nerd math yesterday?
Yes.
He said, I just laughed at that part, but yeah, the nerd math has them at 99.9% chance of making it.
You know what? What's the number 118 signify? 118 is the difference in run differential from this year to last year.
Mm-hmm.
Minus one. They were minus 51 in run differential. Now they're plus 67. Amazing that they got 90 wins last year, which is 7 wins away still for this team. But incredible that they were able to do that. And I think Bob's prediction may come true. I think he said,
what did he say, 89?
I think he said he said 89 or 90, but he thought that they would make the playoffs, even though it was a lesser record with them making the playoffs.
Yeah, well, and the third wild card certainly helps. And like El Hombre said, Michael Bradley, I like that. Some people were against expanded playoffs, but it's great because look how many teams are invested and excited in this right now. If you didn't have this third wildcard spot, the Orioles would be way out of it. The Mariners, we'd be sitting here on the outside, really, really stressing out because the Mariners would currently be out of that final second playoff wildcard spot by half a game. So it's great that there's a third wildcard. Doesn't diminish the quality of the regular season. People argue about that sometimes, but every other league, you have more teams making the playoffs than they do in Major League Baseball. So MLB getting closer to that. Heck, the NFL expanded the wild card last year. Did anyone really really care about that. The quality maybe wasn't great, but it was still fun. The regular season was still great, and everyone watched the NFL. So not a bad thing. The playoffs have expanded. Just makes for more entertaining games like this.
You think the quality was less?
The Steelers were terrible. Did not deserve to be in the playoffs. Remember that game against the Chiefs?
Yeah.
The Patriots, awful. They got embarrassed by the Bills.
That's true.
The Eagles looked terrible against the Bucs. So.
But nobody was complaining about an extra playoff game.
No. And maybe the Titans is the only team that got a bye and then came out rusty and lost. No, that's just me. So some positive news going into this Mariners game, and we will turn it aside to pregame coverage beginning shortly. Eugenio Suarez is back in the starting lineup. Remember, he injured that finger at the very start of this road trip, Friday against Anaheim. That was a week ago from Friday. That's been that long. So it's been a long time. He is back in the starting lineup. He is batting cleanup, and he is the DH, so you have that. Here's the rest of the starting lineup. J.P. Crawford, Ty France playing third again. Mitch Haniger, there's Suarez. Then you have Cal Raleigh catching. Carlos Santana, Jared Kelnick, who's in center. Dylan Moore's in left field, and Adam Frazier is playing second. And Robbie Ray on the mound. And I still think he was trying to loosen them up during that game on Sunday when he did the national anthem standoff. So I am very curious to see how Robbie Ray goes out there, because this is the exact situation you got him for in the offseason. You have a must-win game. Let's be honest, right? At this point, tonight's game is pretty much must-win. Robbie Ray, your ace you got in the offseason, is on the mound for it.
Yeah, I like that. I like that theory of yours, Lefko, that was that they needed to be loosened up again. Because really, you think about it, there's really no other good reason why he would do that. I mean, know. It's funny. I thought, okay, he must be really good friends with the other guy.
They
had
think
to have talked
was.
And planned
yeah.
it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, they had played together
right.
before. That's
mm-hmm.
what, with the Diamondbacks, I think. So anyway, yeah. I think it was definitely. I'm not getting your signals right now. Okay, that means 1 minute.
Dave,
I got
this
you, Lefko.
Finger.
You want me to? Don't give me that finger, Lefko. If you guys could see on the screen how he's treating me here. I think that's a good call that you had about Robbie Ray. Let's see if he goes out there. But you're right. This is exactly like you feel pretty good about this. Mm-hmm. Like last year, you would have been like, it's kind of iffy with the rotation.
Yeah, and now you have Ray, you have Castillo coming down the stretch against the A's. He can get redemption. You have Gilbert and Marco and George Kirby, a lot of guys that give you some optimism. So it'll be fun to watch. That'll do it for our show tonight. Big thanks to Charles Cross, Mark Schlereth, and El Hombre. It is game one of this final 10-game homestand. It begins tonight, 6:40, first pitch against the Rangers. It continues all the way through next Wednesday. It's going to be a heck of a final sprint. So thanks for listening, and Mariners pregame coverage begins next here on Seattle Sports Station.